record 5 million children in the UK could be trapped in poverty by 2020. That's according to new research by Save the Children. The report claims children have paid the highest price in the recession, with families having been hit by a triple whammy of years of flat wages, cuts to benefits and the rising cost of living. Fergus Cooper, the head of Save the Children in Northern Ireland, is with us. Morning to you, Fergus.
Morning, Paul.
Good morning to you and the commentator, Geoffrey Peel. Morning to you, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
Well, these statistics, that's quite shocking, Fergus, isn't it?
It is, and I suppose I should set out exactly what the actual report says. The report is called The First Start for Every Child. It looks at trends in child poverty in the previous decade, and then it looks at what's happening currently and projects ahead. It uses data from the Treasury itself, from the labour market, and it looks at forecasting what's happening. Where we are at the minute in terms of the UK is that approximately one in five children are in relative poverty. But what's happened since the recession has come, the very nature of who is in child poverty has changed. It used to be that the majority of people in child poverty were in households where nobody worked. That's now completely reversed, where if for every two and three children are in households where somebody's working. So it's now become an issue of low pay, not worklessness.
Well, the commentator Geoffrey Peel has described this as sheer unadulterated rubbish. I'm sure you'll be interested to hear why. Tell him, Geoffrey.
Well, it's a classic instance of people being fooled by statistics. The reason why we're always told that about 20% of the population or 20% of families have children living in child poverty is because of the statistics. Because the way the UK computes this number is based on families who have less than 60% of the average wage. So it would be impossible, based on the way the statistics are calculated, for that percentage ever to change. Because even if average wages in the UK went up to the levels of Switzerland, you would always have roughly 20% of the population being below 60% of the average wage. So the statistics are utter poppycock. I'm not saying that there aren't children who live in poverty, but the reason why the figure is always 20% is purely because of the statistics. The other thing is, of course, that in the case of Northern Ireland, there is no ability on the part of the Assembly to alter this number. There's no ability for the local executive to have any influence over this because the executive doesn't have control over benefits or the taxation system. And this often, these numbers are bandied around by charity groups.
Well,
simply because they're intent on income redistribution. And what they should do is
like yours, Fergus,
fess up and say that this is about income redistribution and it's not really about child poverty, because the child poverty number will always stay pretty much the same.
Go on, Fergus.
Well, unfortunately, I have to disagree with you. The report has been authored by a senior official who has just left the Department of Works and Pensions.
But that doesn't matter.
By,
Let's let him finish.
You've had your speak. Let me have mine. It's also being produced by Landman Economics. It's built on a piece of work that was commissioned by the Office of the First and Deputy First Minister by the Institute of Fiscal Studies to forecast what child poverty levels would be like by 2020. There is a Child Poverty Act which was passed in 2010 by all parties at Westminster. And all parties at Westminster still believe that they're working towards reducing child poverty to below 10%. What's happening now is that child poverty is rising and is forecast to continue to rising beyond 2018. By 2020, the Institute of Fiscal Studies, Landman Economics, JRF and Save the Children are predicting that child poverty levels will reach 38% in Northern Ireland. Not one in five, but more than one in three children.
But that's purely because of the statistics, because what happens if you have a period of economic growth, the average wage rises, and therefore the number of people who are deemed to be below 60% of the average wage will always increase when you have a region where the average wages are below the national average. So it's all, now the circumstances of the families in question hasn't changed one jot. Their income hasn't changed one jot. All that has happened has been that the average wage levels driven by average wages, particularly in the southeast of England, have increased. So this is a statistical fiction. I'm not suggesting that there aren't families who are suffering severe hardships, but by focusing on this number, we're not focusing on the real issues. For example, the fact that that all children, regardless of their circumstances, are at the behest of their parents to have some quality of life. And therefore, it's up to the parents to ensure that they have that quality of life.
Fergus, there's a debate in Northern Ireland and significant disagreement in Northern Ireland between the two main political parties, the DUP and Sinn Féin, over welfare reform. Sinn Féin think that the benefits cap of about £26,000 should remain, should be lifted, and the DUP thinks it should remain. What impact do you think benefits reform would have on maybe some of these families who are already in poverty?
The actual report that we've published today actually takes into account what's happening in terms of welfare reform. Obviously, welfare reform has had a major and significant impact in Britain. The politicians here at Northern Ireland are to be commended. They could have just had a right across in terms of just following exactly what happened in Britain. Instead, they decided that they'd introduce a bill into Stormont, discuss it, debate it, and look at the impact. So Nelson McCausland, the Minister for Social Development, is to be commended for actually doing that. He has also gone and negotiated some measures of mitigation from the Department of Works and Pensions. So Northern Ireland will see split payments between the male and female in the household if necessary.
But of course, the big question is, has he got as good as he get? And is it enough now? Is it time to agree to what has been negotiated? Or is Sinn Féin right? Hold out for more? Do we need to hold out for more?
I think there are still some things that could be done. For example, one of the things that we're calling for today is that we'd like to see a minimum income guarantee for families with children under five. Why? Because over this last 4 years, families with children under five have seen a 30% real loss of income. That's a huge impact. It pushes them into severe poverty. So we're saying, and we're acknowledging for the first time, that the target of reaching relative child poverty figures of 10% by 2020 is not going to be reached no matter what we do. What we're saying now is refocus and reprioritise. At least focus on those with children under five. Why under five? Because they're the most vulnerable. I mean, we're talking about statistics here, but let me start talking about children and the impact of poverty on children. We know statistically that if you're under five and you're in a fuel poor household, you're much, much more likely to experience childhood illnesses like asthma, bronchitis, etc. Only one in three children in relative poverty will achieve the five good GCSEs, so you'll do less well at education. And if you persist in poverty for the rest of your life, you will die 15 years sooner.
Okay, Fergus, I know you have to go this morning at quarter to 10, so thank you very much indeed for coming in. Fergus,
thank you, Stephen.
Fergus Cooper from Save the Children, and Geoffrey Peel, thank you.